You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network. And a very good Monday morning to you. Mike McNamara in for a Monday edition of All Marine Radio right here on the All Warrior Radio Network. Hope you had a good weekend. And heading into March here this week. So exciting stuff. I'm trying to think how many months we have. June, July, August, September, October, November, December, January, February. That'll be into our 10th month, coming up on a year of doing this. So, pretty unbelievable. Anyway, a good All Marine Radio Monday morning to you. Tell you what we're going to do today. We are going to talk to Justin Constantine. We're going to talk current events with him. A lot of stuff in the news. Father of the Navy SEAL that was killed in Somalia. No, Yemen, right? His son was named Ryan Owen. He wants answers. What happened? The nominee to be Secretary of the Navy has withdrawn his name. The Iraqis capture additional neighborhoods in Mosul. China ramps up naval activities in the South China Sea. And U.S. has changed rules of engagement during the fight for Mosul. So kind of that's an interesting story. So we'll talk all of that. Justin Constantine's going to join us this morning, so he'll do that in about 10 minutes. So we'll talk to him, and we'll talk current events with Justin. President set to give a major speech this week, so we'll see if Justin has any thoughts on that. And then after Justin joins us, the Marine Corps Mustang Association. Yeah. Is going to join us. The president of the association, Ernest Johnson, he's a retired lieutenant in the Marine Corps, and the vice president is Joseph Featherstone. He's going to join us. He retired as a major. So Mustangs have a long and proud history in the Marine Corps, prior enlisted officers, and a lot of great officers go that route. So we'll talk to them about their association, what it does for a living, and what they're looking for. So interesting. And then we're going to do something different for Mike and Mike today. Gunner's not going to be with us here. So we'll get a little bit of a report on what happened at the Oscars last night. So our pop culture correspondent, my daughter Catherine, that's right, you'll get to meet her if you haven't heard her on the program. She was on once before. And so she'll join us. We'll talk a little bit about the Oscars. And then I have a little Iwo Jima thing that I want you to hear a little bit more of. So we'll do that. I got the response I got last week when I played that, I was... I probably shouldn't be surprised. I probably should be surprised, but I was a little bit. I was a little bit, and so you'll hear a little bit more of that this morning, in the after 9:30, and as we make our way towards 10 o'clock and the end of the program. So sit back, relax, enjoy the Monday. Hope wherever you are, you're having a decent Monday. I had a good weekend. My nephew was playing baseball in Southern California, so I got a chance to watch him. Joe, you've heard him on. He was one of our baseball experts. He and my uncle, Muggs, came on after the World Series. So Joe, good kid, and he's a good baseball player. So they played in Huntington Beach and then down in San Marcos, California, down by Camp Pendleton. So I got a chance to go watch him and my younger son, Patrick, who's a lieutenant in 3-5, he was able to join us. So my cousin, who's like a brother to me, is Joe's dad. And so, and then my two daughters who enjoy baseball. We went all out in a beautiful day on Saturday here in Southern California. And I'll tell you what, pretty nice baseball facility down in San Marcos. Wow. Yeah, it's a beautiful little baseball stadium at San Marcos Community College or Junior College. I'm not sure what we're calling them these days. So anyway, so did that. And then yesterday I relaxed a little bit, watched some hockey and also did some moving over the weekend. So I'll tell you, I've learned about moving. If you have dollies and you have those little flat little things with rollers, moving's a lot easier. Moving's a lot easier. Doesn't need to be back-breaking difficult. The other thing is not so many boxes, lots of bins with wheels. That's right. Make them go to wherever you find them, Lowe's, Home Depot's, get those big containers. So instead of carrying 50 boxes, you're carrying one container. It's got wheels. We can do that. So yeah, Mike's Moving Consulting Service right here. So with that said, that's what we're doing today, my weekend, for what it's worth. The United States Marine Corps Band ushers in the morning. Hope you had a good weekend and getting ready to kick the week off. Good morning to you.
Can do for you, ask what you can do for your country.
On a Monday, check the weather on the Marine Corps. And then Justin Constantine. Our resident liberal, as he's come to be known. Yeah. Mac, when's that guy coming back on with all his propaganda? Around the Marine Corps currently, cloudy in 43 in Quantico, sunny in 60 at Camp Lejeune, Granbury, Texas, home of the Gunner, overcast in 64 up in North Dakota, cloudy in 17 degrees, so they've cooled off up there, 29 Palms, cloudy in 43, Camp Pendleton, cloudy in 48, still cool on the West Coast, Camp Smith, kind of back to normal, cloudy, dark in 71, Okinawa, Japan, cloudy dark 59 in Fallujah. It's hot there. 71 degrees. Dark. Yikes. That's right. It's dark at 71. The high temperature of all the places that we survey, Fallujah, and it's dark. Congratulations. Costa Mesa, Newport Beach area of Southern California, 52 degrees and rain. That is a look at your weather here on a Monday edition of All Marine Radio. This hour of All Marine Radio brought to you by our friends at Battle Mug, where the Battle Mug starts out as a 10.5-pound block of T6 billet aluminum after it's been machined, milled, and anodized, ready for you to customize. Each mug serialized, built with the operator in mind. Those Picatinny rails you see on your rifle are on the mug itself. The carrying handle is the carrying handle from the M16. It's a perfect gift for any kind of commemorative event, farewells, promotions, retirements, and other special occasions. St. Patrick's Day is coming up, or a birthday. Check them out at battlemug.com, battlemug.com. Enter the promo code Marine and get 15% off. It's a veteran-owned and operated company made entirely in the United States. So, that going for it. Anyway, Battle Mug, great sponsors of All Marine Radio, and it's a great product, too. I used mine over the weekend. Justin Constantine joins us right after this here on a Monday. Don't go away.
All I can say about MilitaryByOwner.com is, wow, I listed my house on your website for only 2 weeks in a tough rental market, and now my house is about to get rented. I will definitely recommend you guys to everyone in the military. Thank you.
Are you located near a military base? Advertise with Military by Owner for optimum exposure to the military community. Military by Owner has experience helping military families find, sell, or rent their home near a military base for the past 15 years. MilitaryByOwner.com, proven and dependable.
My name is Juan Perez Jr. I joined the military in 98. I commissioned as an officer. But I always had in mind the idea that I would go into the special operations community, particularly the special forces. I was accepted to go into selection, and I attended on September 8th of 2001. As I was making my departure of the military, there was that uncertainty. What do I do next? How do I repurpose my skills in a way that's not only meaningful to me, but also that provides for my family and provides an increase in our a way of living, a quality of life. The Robosoft Foundation has resources when it comes to anything from building resumes to how to relate to a CEO in conversation, how to basically, again, repurpose that which I had learned in a career in special operations, dealing at the strategic and operational level. How do I take that and then turn it towards entrepreneurial spirit into business development, and how do I translate that so somebody can see that value? And in doing so, I landed a magnificent and very rewarding career. I'm the VP of operations for an IT company called BuildSourced. What I say to veterans getting out, be bold when you go to network. Go out to the GlobalSoft website, look at what events they have lined up, attend those events, you know, and participate. A lot of the events they hold, they're of key importance in this network. Go out there and engage, just like you would engage in a combat zone, you know, when you're networking there. With folks that don't share necessarily your language, your culture, or your background, and yet we still make it happen. How can we not make it happen here?
The Global Soft Foundation is a great partner of All Marine Radio. Find out more about them at globalsoftfoundation.org/Marines.
I'm good, but I have a story, and I don't know where to start.
I'm good, but I feel alone in a crowd.
I'm good. The past keeps coming back.
When the service member or veteran in your life says,
I'm good.
Are you really listening?
I'm good, but I can't get out of bed.
I'm good, but I can't sleep.
I'm good, but I feel overwhelmed.
I'm good, but I don't feel safe.
I'm good, but I still have nightmares.
I'm good, but I don't need any help.
I'm good, but I don't feel anything anymore.
I'm good, but I can't live like this anymore.
I'm really not so good. But are you ready to listen?
Suicide prevention is everyone's responsibility. Listen to the veteran or service member in your life. If you are in crisis or know someone who is, call the Veterans Crisis Line and Military Crisis Line at 1-800-273-8255 and press 1 for free 24/7 confidential support.
More than 2 million Americans have served in Iraq and Afghanistan, and the Department of Veterans Affairs reports that approximately 11 to 20% of those warriors may have experienced symptoms of post-traumatic stress disorder. As we recognize PTSD Awareness Month, Real Warriors Campaign volunteer Meg Mitchum, a former Army combat medic who served in Iraq, encourages fellow warriors to reach out when they need help.
The hardest step was admitting that I needed help coping with PTSD. Once I did, my command and unit fully supported me, and I was able to get the care I needed. Getting support helped me succeed in the military and now in my civilian career.
If you or a loved one is coping with an invisible wound, resources are available and they work. For more information, visit the Real Warriors campaign at realwarriors.net or call 866-966-1020.
As we recognize the service of America's men and women in uniform, let's also honor the families who sacrifice so much every day. Military families endure frequent deployments and separations. They carry on while their loved ones are sent into harm's way and wait patiently for their safe return. If you really want to honor a veteran, look for ways to support their families and thank them for their sacrifices. Go to legion.org/honorveterans to find out how you can help.
This is Montel Williams. As a U.S. Navy and Marine Corps veteran, I know the sacrifice that our servicemen and women make for us every single day. If you're a veteran or a military member transitioning out of the service, help is available to you. The U.S. Department of Labor can help you get training, find a good job, or further your education. Contact the Veterans Employment and Training Service at 866-487-2365 or visit dol.gov/vets.
You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
We're caught in a trap. I can't walk out because I love you.
For those of you who don't know the story behind this, he was caught in that trap with Priscilla Presley. So as traps go, that's not a bad trap. Joining me, Justin Constantine, as he does, our resident liberal, Justin Constantine. What's going on, Justin? How's life on the left bank? What's up?
Always good. You know, I'm an optimist, so I feel better and better about where we are every day.
That's good. How about Elvis Presley singing about being trapped with Priscilla Presley?
Yeah, that sounds rough.
What? You know what? There's a lesson in that, and that is life can always be worse, Elvis. So that was probably the beginning of, hey, this guy's got some serious stuff going on in his life, okay? Are you an Elvis fan?
Imagine being a good friend of Elvis's and just seeing what his life was like.
No. You know what? First of all, like, he's trapped with Priscilla Presley. It's like, all right, hey, dude, man, I think you gotta get your head out of your ass, okay? She's, like, above average. You could do... Then he goes for the cape, and nobody says anything. He's got this... He's sweating like a puffed-up drug addict on stage with a cape on, and nobody says, yo, man, I think we gotta look at this program right here. Yeah.
He has things figured out.
No, you know what? His friends have a lot to, have always had a lot to answer for in history, so there you go. You got to have people that'll hopefully tell you the truth, and Elvis certainly. Nobody wanted to get kicked off the gravy train, so
friends don't let friends wear capes in public.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much. All right. So, Monday, let me give you some news headlines, your thoughts to it. Father of a United States Navy SEAL killed in the raid in Yemen says he wants answers to his son's death. This is kind of normal fallout. Owens' father and it was Petty Officer Ryan Owens that was killed. His father's name's Bill. He didn't want to meet the president. He was sitting with his wife in a living room
at Dover.
Right at Dover, which is and so he said, I'll quote him. "I'm sorry, I don't want to see him," Owens recalled telling the chaplain who informed him that Trump was on his way from Washington. I told him I don't want to meet the president. It had only been a little bit more than 24 hours since he'd been notified, and he cringed at the idea of shaking the hand of the guy who approved the raid in Yemen that took his son's life. Quote, "I told him I didn't want to make a scene about it, but my conscience wouldn't let me talk to him," he said as he spoke with reporters on Friday. I'll read you one more quote.
Sure.
"Why at this time did there have to be this stupid mission when it wasn't even barely a week into his administration? Why? For 2 years prior, there were no boots on the ground in Yemen. Everything was missiles and drones because there was not a target worth one American life. Now, all of a sudden, we had to make this grand display," he questioned. Obviously, and then he goes on to say, "Don't hide my son's death to prevent an investigation. I want an investigation. The government owes my son an investigation." So, anyway. Your thoughts?
Well, I think all that makes sense. I can't put myself in the father's shoes. I certainly can understand him not wanting to talk to the president, whoever it is. And President Bush and President Obama dealt with all sorts of protests during the military operations as well. So that's nothing new. His son was killed. Now. Which is terrible. I don't know how quote unquote responsible President Trump is for that operation. I'm sure it came up to him through the normal channels, and the experts decided this was a good idea. So I don't think we've already discussed on this show that he's not going to see me a micromanager on policy. So I think he deferred to the experts around him, and I understand that. I don't think he should have, or administration should have made a big deal as they did claiming it was a success, because there were a lot of problems and there wasn't an extremely sad death involved. So I understand the father's position. I know when I was injured after my parents got the call, they weren't sure if I was going to survive. They definitely wouldn't have wanted to go see President Bush just because he was the commander-in-chief. He didn't make that particular call, but he was a commander-in-chief. And so I understand where he's coming from, but I think this operation was probably in place before President Johnson's office.
Hey, I'm curious. Can we talk about, do you mind if we talk about the notification process when you were wounded?
Well, it was, this is 10 years ago.
Were you married at the time?
I was single.
Okay.
I was dating Dahlia. She was in England at the time. So my parents got a call from, I believe, the commander from the Civil Affairs debt, which I belonged to. But he didn't give them very good information. In fact, all the details turned out to be wrong, where I was and what I was doing. And they told my parents was that it was I had been shot, it was a significant injury, and they didn't have any other details. And then my mom emailed Dahlia, told her that. But through some military friends, we were able to get answers pretty quickly. Well, my parents were able to get details pretty quickly.
Okay, hold on. So the official notification process on wounded in action is a command responsibility, right?
Yes.
Okay, and so they tracked down your parents, obviously through your records, and they made a phone call, told your parents. And now, were there any? What did they tell? Did they tell them when they said that it was a serious injury? Did they tell them that they should come to Germany, or what did they tell them?
No, they didn't. And my father thought about doing that on his own, but in no time did they recommend I come there. Although I heard later the doctors weren't sure if I was going to survive. But after 4 days in Germany, they decided I was stable enough to send me to the military hospital in Bethesda.
Right.
And I was in an induced coma at that point. And so they had told my parents that. My parents came to the ICU and I landed. So it was, I guess, pretty good, but the first call could have been a lot better. He could have had the details and had a little more information that would have made my parents feel a little bit better.
Right. I just want to talk about that a little bit when we come back. We're going to take a quick break.
Sure.
We continue with our resident liberal, Justin Constantine, here taking up the airwaves. We'll be back after this on a Monday edition of All Marine Radio right here on the All Warrior Radio Network.
Excellent resource for any military family moving to a new area. We found a ton of homes to choose from and purchased a house 8 days later. This was the only site I used. Thanks, Military by Owner.
Are you PCSing? Do you need to find a home near a military base quickly? With over 45,000 listings and 15 years of experience helping military families find, sell, or rent their home near a military base, MilitaryByOwner.com can help. Military by Owner, proven and dependable.
My name is Juan Perez, Jr. I joined the military in 98. I commissioned as an officer. But I always had in mind the idea that I would go into the special operations community, particularly the special forces. I was accepted to go into selection, and I attended on September 8th of 2001. As I was making my departure out of the military, there was that uncertainty. What do I do next? How do I repurpose my skills in a way that's not only meaningful to me, but also that provides for my family and provides an increase in our a way of living, a quality of life. The Bolasoft Foundation has resources when it comes to anything from building resumes to how to relate to a CEO in conversation, how to basically, again, repurpose that which I had learned in a career in special operations, dealing at the strategic and operational level. How do I take that and then turn it towards entrepreneurial spirit into business development, and how do I translate that so somebody can see that value? And in doing so, I landed a magnificent and very rewarding career. I'm the VP of operations for an IT company called BuildSource. What I say to veterans getting out, be bold when you go to the network. Go out to the GlobalSoft website, look at what events they have lined up, attend those events, you know, and participate. A lot of the events they hold, they're of key importance in this network. Go out there and engage, just like you would engage in a combat zone, you know, when you're networking there. With folks that don't share necessarily your language, your culture, or your background, and yet we still make it happen. How can we not make it happen here?
The Global Soft Foundation is a great partner of All Marine Radio. Find out more about them at globalsoftfoundation.org/Marines.
I'm good, but I have a story, and I don't know where to start.
I'm good, but I feel alone in the crowd.
I'm good. The past keeps coming back.
When the service member or veteran in your life says,
I'm good.
Are you really listening?
I'm good, but I can't get out of bed.
I'm good, but I can't sleep.
I'm good, but I feel overwhelmed.
I'm good, but I don't feel safe.
I'm good, but I still have nightmares.
I'm good, but I don't need any help. I'm good, but I don't feel anything anymore.
I'm good, but I can't live like this anymore.
I'm really not so good. But are you ready to listen?
Suicide prevention is everyone's responsibility. Listen to the veteran or service member in your life. If you are in crisis or know someone who is,
Call the Veterans Crisis Line and Military Crisis Line at 1-800-273-8255 and press 1 for free 24/7 confidential support.
Life in the military is one of service and sacrifice. For some, that sacrifice includes physical and mental injuries or trauma that will affect their lives forever. Please join with the American Legion in recognizing and supporting our wounded warriors and their families. We need to show them that we truly are a grateful nation. We cannot allow them to be forgotten and left to fend for themselves.
This is U.S. Navy and Marine Corps veteran Montrell Williams. During my 22 years of military service, I had the honor of working beside many brave service women. They are the fastest growing population of veterans, and they can be a great asset to your company. Women veterans are trained to take initiative, adapt to change, and they're quick to learn. If you're an employer or a woman veteran, call the U.S. Department of Labor at 866-487-2365 or visit careeronestop.org.
You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
We continue here on a, I think Justin's still with us. You still there?
I'm here, Mac. I'm sorry.
That's all right. We're trying to, just so everybody knows, we're trying to time a tunnel. And my liberal friend here screwed it up. The, all right.
Of course.
Of course. The, as you reflect back on that, do you remember the first time that you came to and you, when did you know the extent of your injuries?
Yeah, I do remember. I know I was awake. Well, let me just say, I know I was awake while I was in land school because Dahlia told me I was quite lucid and I couldn't talk, but I could write notes. And I don't remember that, but I even wrote, clearly I didn't know what had happened because I said, hey, we've never been to Germany before. We should go do something. And she's like, no, that's not happening. But I remember waking up in the ICU in Bethesda, and I heard people saying my name, and so I repeated my name, and it was a big deal because they didn't think I was ever going to be able to talk again. They thought the corn was actually going to cut my vocal cord, but really I hadn't been able to speak the whole time because my head was just so swollen. And so I started crying and grabbed my family and everyone else. And I didn't know what was going on. It was probably several weeks after I woke up before I knew what had happened because they had covered up the windows and mirrors with get well cards and stuff because the doctors thought if I saw what I looked like, it would put me in a state of depression and really interfere with my recovery.
The, all right, we're kind of got sidetracked about talking about what it's like to be wounded.
I want to talk about this in detail, and just if I get cut off here, it's because the tunnel. I'm on a train going back up to New York from D.C., so I apologize for it. It's hard to tell exactly when we're going to hit it.
It's all right. We'll hold it against. Okay. We'll hold it against you, and you'll pay for it in the future.
Yeah. The, you can make fun of it.
Exactly. Next week, come on, for the next however long we know each other. Do you remember that time on the tunnel when you went through 17 tunnels that day? Trying to get through one of them. When your family reflects on it, did they think that they were treated well? Because you know the problem with those calls is a lot of times, you know, people are doing them for the first time. You know, like the unit may have done it, but the guys doing it at that time, you know, one of them's new, one of them's not, and are you still there? All right. He's in the tunnel now. We're talking with Justin about, for those of you who've never heard, I mean, Justin suffered a gunshot wound in the head. And the round entered behind his ear, I think at the base of his ear, and then it traveled towards his nose and came out the front of his face. And I mean, extremely, extremely lucky. Yeah, I mean, if you can say that. I mean, I think everybody who's that was a phone call dropping. Everybody who's wounded and lived ultimately learns that you know what, I was lucky because the guys who weren't lucky are dead, which is sobering, but that's the reality of combat. so we, but it's always an interesting experience to talk to people about, you know, what their family goes through and how they think it all went. And, the bottom line is, I think you've heard it said on a program before that, you know, you have guys who will do multiple combat tours and will run from being a CACO notification officer. Somebody who has to go physically to a house and tell somebody that they've been wounded. And these things are killed, I'm sorry, that's the notification. And then being, you know, you need adults to be involved in taking care of, notifications for people that are wounded. And because it's gut-wrenching for families because you don't know. And so you do this dance where you fight the desire to notify them quickly because, let me just give you the process. Somebody's wounded, seriously, or killed. The unit forward goes into what's called River City, and that means their communications with the outside world are shut off with the exception of the, you know, a few people on a list, the commanding officer, a sergeant major, you know, the OPSO, the major players. But what happened on a variety of cases was guys were wounded or killed, and their families heard about it not through the appropriate channels. They heard about it through social media. They heard about it via an email or a phone call that called them up and said, "Oh, my God, I'm so sorry." For what? Didn't you hear? So what would happen a lot of times if whoever was wounded, if they were lucid, you know, you would give them a phone and have them call their wife or their parents and say, hey, because hearing their voice and the fact that they're lucid does a lot. What happened? I got wounded today. I'm okay. You know, my left leg is, you know, I lost part of my left leg and. And then you deal with that. But so we learned a lot about how to handle that stuff. But everybody's experience is different. And so the people that handle it, there's this race to get the information. And what happens is we medevac him out of Iraq, right? The last good information we have is when he leaves Balad, probably. Now, once, you know, that's what we know. And we might not be able to, you know, get to those people very easily. So they're yelling for information from the United States. The last we know is the information that, you know, we have from Fallujah Surgical before he left there. Hey, here's what we can tell you. Well, that's what the family gets. And now that may not be the best information. Maybe, you know, his status changed as he got to Balad and they worked on him there and whatnot. So you can see it's this imperfect system. It's a snapshot, shot in time based on what you knew. And you may not have complete information. So so you can see the whole casualty notification thing is not a IBM service. Hell, IBM's not even an IBM service for that matter. But the so it's always, I think, interesting to talk to different people about their own experience in this kind of world, and so how their family did, what they thought of it, and you know, it's all prone to human error, and so it's like I said, it's this dynamic, gut-wrenching drama that goes on as families. I remember sending one of the nicest letters I ever got in Iraq was one of the Marines on General Mattis's, we called it the jump, but it was his personal security detachment. So he had a platoon of Marines that went with him wherever he went. And and a Lance Corporal by the name of Lawler, who was raised by his grandmother in Texas. I should find Lawler one of these days. But anyway, he was wounded. Another Marine was killed. A Marine by Lance Corporal by the name of Jeremy Bowman was killed in Ramadi, and Lawler was wounded. And it was a lot of shrapnel all over his body. None of it seriously, thank God. But, he's got, I don't know how many different pieces of shrapnel wound up in his body. Well, and so she gets a phone call in the middle of the night. And so the next day, Lawler actually came back. They released him. They pulled as much metal out of his ass as they could. And they send him back to us to recuperate. And so I had Lawler standing, took a picture of him smiling with a couple of his buddies that were also wounded. And I sent that picture back to Lawler's grandma and then the other two guys' moms and dads. And I'll never forget the letter I got from Lawler's mom, Lawler's grandma, talking how terrified she was of what had happened. And the fact that she laid in bed, then she got up, and she simply paced, wondering, you know, how her baby was. And so, and then she got this picture of him standing there in his uniform, smiling. And she said, I will never, for the rest of my life, I could never work to pay off, you know, your one act of kindness. But that's the, and yeah, sending a picture. But, so that's the kind of environment that, you know, all this takes place in. And it's tough stuff as people deal with the unknown. And they're so full of anxiety, as you can imagine. And then in the midst of that, there's people that are trying to do the right thing, trying to get them complete information. And it can't be a perfect system because there's people involved in it. So anyway, kind of a long-winded response to waiting for Justin to get through the tunnel. So, well, here he comes. All right, he's back with us. I was just talking about the uncertainty, and that's a human kind of a drama. It's a snapshot of where you were, and then the guys, yeah, you know, guys delivering the news have varying degrees of experience, depending right. on, you know, so-and-so was supposed to be there, but his daughter's sick, so so-and-so was there. And then he read, you know, so all that. So at the end of the day, how did your family think that the Marine Corps did relative to informing you?
You know, besides the initial, you know, besides the first call from there, they were very satisfied once I got to Bethesda, the Marine Corps leadership there. And actually the first night when I got there, I don't remember this, but the Master Gunnery Sergeant, who was in charge of, you know, kind of running things there, was a Lieutenant Colonel and Master Guns, and you're not supposed to have overnight visitors in the ICU. And I guess I was adamant, saying Dahlia had to be there with me. And he said, well, if this is what the Major wants, this is what the Major gets. And he went and talked to the Admiral, and they bended the rules for us because I really needed her there next to me. And so that was, you know, that was the Marines taking care of Marines. And I saw that a lot there. My family saw that. So they felt good about how the Marines are doing there. Ultimately, I ended up getting a lot of my care at Johns Hopkins University in Baltimore, for medical reasons. But that was, it felt pretty good. That being said, one thing that did distress me, and it still does, was that I could tell I was treated differently because of my rank and some of the other guys there. You know, most of the people with serious injuries are Lance Corporals, Corporals and Sergeants. Right. And I just felt like people treated me differently, and that's not right.
Oh, you felt that?
Yeah. And so my family knows it too. And I didn't feel... I felt like my rank should have been irrelevant. You know, we're all wounded Marines there. And so the way they talked to me was a little bit differently, because there's other officers typically who are the doctors, nurses, so, or maybe paying extra care, or just I could hear the way they talked to, and maybe it also had to do with the way I talked to them, which was respectful and and trying to be helpful. And some of the younger Marines were going through different things than I was, and would yell at them or throw things at them, and so maybe that was part of it too. But and plus Dahlia was there, and my family was there a lot, and they were able to make the nurses' lives a little bit easier. So maybe it was a package deal,
right.
But I did feel I was treated a little bit differently.
Interesting. But your family felt like...
Yeah, they were happy.
Okay. Interesting. Interesting. Because it's obviously... I was telling a story while you were gone. One of the letters, one of the nicest letters I ever got, I was in Iraq working for General Mattis, and one of the Marines in his personal security platoon was killed in Ramadi, and in that IED blast... I want to say three others were wounded, and one of them was a Lance Corporal by the name of Lawler, and they pulled shrapnel out from all through his back and whatnot. And none of it in very deep, none of the fragments too big, so he was kind of peppered with it. All she did was got a phone call saying that he had been involved. He was wounded. His injuries were not life threatening. And that's all she knew, right? So I mean, what are they, you know? And so he got back to us. I want to say the following day, I had him stand with two of his friends that were wounded, same kind of stuff, all three of them, and sent that picture out to their families. And you would have thought, you know, I was Mother Teresa.
But, that's great.
You know what I mean? Just the relief of them seeing.
Yeah.
And he was raised by his grandma, and so she's the one that wrote me, but. She said to see him smiling, to see him standing up and functioning,
yeah.
I can never say thank you enough. So it's incredibly uncertain and scary time.
It is, and those little like what you did makes a big difference. I remember when I was still there and Colonel Grosse at one of our battle rhythm meetings, and I guess a few of the Marines are rotating back or something, and he said, make sure you go by Walter Reed. Make sure you go see our Marines who are there. They need to hear from you. And that was a nice touch, I thought. That maybe some other leaders may not have thought to empathize. And that wasn't just a passing. I mean, he was yelling at them. So I know they did that, because that makes a huge difference. When you're in the hospital, you just want to be back over there with your Marines. And so, like, you taking a picture or him making sort of personal contact, that makes a big difference for us.
All right. What's on your mind relative to the news this week?
Well, I'm sort of looking forward to the President Trump's speech tomorrow, just to kind of see if there's any detail on any legislation that's coming up. I'm very concerned about these reports of ICE raids and how our immigration policy is rolling out. I haven't seen it. It's kind of tough to know what the priorities are in the White House. But as far as ICE and Customs Border Patrol and immigration policy in general, I would love just to hear either John Kelly or President Trump come out and say, we are definitely focusing on serious criminals first. There are so many of these folks that need to be kicked out of the country. We are prioritizing, because right now there's so much confusion. And just in this last week, I talked to business owners and teachers and family members who are terrified about the way things seem to be rounding out. And so if we are concerned about prioritizing our resources, being fiscally responsible, because it takes work to track down undocumented workers and finding the criminals and focusing on them, I believe that's what we should be doing. I don't see that, at least in the media, I don't see that being reported.
You know, it's a big issue here in California. And,
of course.
And there was protests relative to it last week. And ICE's comment was, hey, this is the same stuff. Nothing has changed since the change of administrations. We're doing the exact same thing. And that was their comment on it. They said there's nothing different. There's been no additional guidance passed to us. You know, now everybody's hypersensitive to us doing anything, but we haven't. There's been no change relative to policy. So that was the gist of the LA Times article.
Well, if that's true, then great. I mean, look, Obama had a very aggressive
right.
immigration policy. I mean, he deported way more than President Bush did. And so, but again, the mantra from the White House is like, we are prioritizing. We're focusing on criminals.
Right.
And that, and by that, he did not mean if you're here illegally, you're a criminal and you're a focus. It's if you are breaking significant laws, not misdemeanors. And there are plenty of reports out there, or at least a national feeling in the community that ICE agents are waiting at metro stops. They're going to churches. They're going to schools. And I just think, as a leader, if I knew that those reports were out there and that feeling was out there, I would go out of my way to be very clear what our policy was. And so if nothing has changed with ICE, but they're aware that this feeling is out there and they're aware that this affects not only those undocumented workers, but a lot of other U.S. citizens, they should be making that policy clear. Then why wouldn't they?
I agree with you. And since I know the guy involved, my belief is he'll do that because he's that kind of guy.
I hope so. I believe he will too, but, when will that happen?
You know, good. I don't know. Maybe after the speech. I'm really interested. Wow. Where are you?
I'm sorry. I can't keep my line. I'm on the train. And
okay.
Making an announcement.
I'm interested in the speech. I'm interested in speech relative to both the Affordable Care Act and health insurance, and also what he has to say about clarifying that. Because I agree with you. I don't think the nation wants to see us go down the road of. I mean, because what you're describing is Gestapo-like. Show me your papers, right?
That's right. That's right.
You know, and I don't.
Did you see what the article about Muhammad Ali's son?
No.
Coming in the country, and the ICE agent, reportedly asked him, who are you? Are you a Muslim? Like, asked him these questions, and he's a U.S. citizen. Who cares what his name is? And he's Muhammad Ali's son, by the way. And so why is he getting that kind of treatment? When he's a U.S. citizen, why is anyone a U.S. citizen getting second guessed by someone at the very tip of the spear? And so I wonder if ICE agents feel that that's appropriate, who's going to put them in check and make very clear we don't treat our citizens like this? And then the broader picture is how we make sure it doesn't look like Gestapo, it doesn't look like Nazi Germany. How are we doing this in an orderly process that shows that we are, a humane nation, and we are being fiscally responsible at the same time?
Right, and I think the nation wants to. And so here's where we're at. This is my opinion. That's why this week I agree with you. Will be interesting stuff. We've heard all the bloviating, all the political bloviating. All right.
Right.
We've gotten through the first month in office. Okay. Now we want to see you govern. So we need the details of how is the Affordable Care Act going to change? And we need the details of what do you mean when you say these things about immigration?
Well, because for instance, this weekend I met a gentleman who has he's a worker has an investment company, and he was talking about some of their labor is immigrant workers, and they're all very scared. Some of them aren't showing up for work because they're afraid they're going to get targeted. And so you hear these stories, and so not only is it affecting our businesses here, but really just the idea that people are living in fear. Now I know some people may say, well, they're not supposed to be here, so who cares? But they have children who are born here, that children U.S. citizens. And that kind of gets us over to the Dreamers. And even that isn't certain. Even it sounds like Trump says the Dreamers are, a kind of a special, quote-unquote, special class. This is a good thing that President Obama put in. And take a look at the Dreamers. These folks are incredible. Come here, a lot of them are just crushing it in school. And don't we want people like that to grow to be leaders in our country where yes, their parents may have brought them to only a one or two, but they understand both sides of the issues. They've done extremely well under great adversity, which is the story of our country. So I would think, even if you want to do away with the Dreamers program, at least grandfather everyone who's already in it. But I don't see that. That amount of people is a drop in the bucket compared to how many criminals are out there who I think we should be targeting.
We're a little bit late today. Maybe we'll do something Wednesday morning and after the speech.
That would be good.
Would you be able to do that
for this one? Yep, I can. I have plenty of time on Wednesday morning for this.
Okay. All right. I will let you go, and good luck today on your travels, and we'll talk to you on Wednesday.
I'm just happy you agree with me on something. Well, that's a victory for me.
There you go. I'm not one way. All right, man.
I know.
We'll talk to you, Justin Constantine, here on a Wednesday edition of Allmarine Radio. We're going to talk Marine Corps Mustang Association. Coming up next, right after this, on a Monday edition of Allmarine Radio. This hour of Allmarine Radio is sponsored by our friends at Battle Mug. Check out their entire line at battlemug.com. Use the promo code Marine for 15% off. More of Allmarine Radio coming up next.
All I can say about MilitaryByOwner.com is, wow, I listed my house on your website for only 2 weeks in a tough rental market, and now my house is about to get rented. I will definitely recommend you guys to everyone in the military. Thank you.
Are you located near a military base? Advertise with Military by Owner for optimum exposure to the military community. Military by Owner has experience helping military families find, sell, or rent their home near a military base for the past 15 years. MilitaryByOwner.com, proven and dependable.